make it to 2 Samuel chapter 6. As I was sitting there, God just kept pressing this on my heart. I'm going to share it with you out of Luke chapter 5, too. Just for a moment, I don't know why God wants me to do this, but when I learn something new and God gives it to me, I don't think He just wants me to share it one time and never say anything about it again. It's almost like it's repetitive. Yeah, in Luke chapter 5, in the very beginning, Jesus passes by the lake of Gennesaret. I don't know if you know anything about that or not, but that's where He found Peter, James, John, and Andrew. He came by and he sat in a boat. If y'all don't remember, he was being pressed upon. He was teaching a lesson. He was preaching, and he got pressed upon. It's amazing, you know. And we think we're living in, Scott mentioned it, so it's dark times. But prior to this, for 400 years, there had been no gospel. God hadn't had a prophet in 400 years. No messages, no worship, no song, no nothing. And at the end of that dark period, Jesus showed up. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I want you to know, even through a dark period, God ain't forgot who we are or where we're at. And sometimes at the darkest point, and I know in a 24-hour cycle, the darkest point is usually right before the sun comes up. Amen. I don't know if any of y'all have ever worked a night shift or a back shift or anything like that. When I was a young man, I was in the Marine Corps, and I remember we'd do duties during the night, six-hour shifts at night. And I remember standing on the guard duty, and man, about 4 o'clock in the morning, it's just dark and quiet. And, like, you stand there, and you're thinking, you're just fighting sleep, and you're thinking, man, I can sleep standing up. I don't know if you've ever done, but I mean, you can get so tired and so dark, you just, like, you want to fall over. But then maybe just about an hour later, maybe an hour and a half later, the sun will start coming up, and it's so bright. You're like, my goodness gracious. See, Jesus is the sun. And He walked up one day on the lake of Gennesaret, and He was being pressed. Everywhere Jesus went, He was being pressed because His message was so powerful. He said, what was it? He come preaching repentance. Repentance unto salvation. Not do this and don't do that. Not works, not law, not nothing. He just come and said, if you'll believe in Me, turn to Me, I'll save you. I'll make you righteous, because you have found out throughout this whole period of time that you can't do it without Me. But I love the story, because Peter and them were cleaning their nets. And I'm glad there's a couple of men here this morning. I don't know if everybody knows this, but sometimes when you look forward to getting the job done, and the last thing you do when you're getting the job done is clean stuff up. That's sometimes when I don't perform that part. Golly, never mind. Y'all didn't get that. I like dig the hole, cut it down, chop it down, put it up, burn it, store it, do whatever. All right, sweep. No, all right, well, I'll get that in the morning. Okay? I'll pack that up later. We'll hose it down later. We'll get it in the morning. But Peter and them had been fishing all night, and they were over there, and they had just got all the stuff out of the nets, all the seaweed, all the sand, all the rock, all the stuff, and they're folding it up neatly, and they're putting it away neatly, and all of a sudden, Jesus comes and says, hey, can I preach from your boat? It's clean, but get in it. It's nice and neat and orderly, but go ahead. Well, you don't mind. Would you get in the back of my boat and kind of row out just a little bit? Now, I've been up all night, but I don't mind. Amen? I don't mind if, you know, you seem like you know something. I'll get in. Remember when Jesus first got in your boat and you really didn't know who He was, and you didn't understand what He was trying to do, and you thought He was more of an inconvenience than He was a Savior? He's more of an inconvenience than He is a Savior. He's kind of somebody who's kind of pushing Himself into your life, and you got life kind of figured out, and God, why are you trying to get into my life? I think I got it all right. I know how it works. I fish all night. I get up, get out of the water, clean up the boat, clean up the nets, put them up, go to bed, get ready, go back out tomorrow. Life, I got it.
I pray over my food.
God wants more. God wants more than just you to mention Him in your life. God wants more than you just to show a signet, a little signal to Him every once in a while that you got Him in your life. He sat down in the boat and he goes, Can you just row just back just far enough? Because I'm God and I think I can preach from the waves of the shoreline. I don't have amplification, but I'll use what I created. Sits down and begins to preach, and everybody on the shoreline's getting a word, and they're happy and they're content. But God wants more out of the person in the boat than He does the people surrounding the boat. God didn't just get into your life where you can say, well, I know Him. He got in your life where you can change people's lives. I love it. He's sitting in the boat, and God always does this. God was through preaching. God was tired. He was done with the preaching to all the people. And He said, all right, well, service must be over. Let's get out of here. And He goes, no, can you do me a favor? Can we go a little bit deeper? He didn't want to go deeper with everybody. He just wanted to go deeper with Peter. Amen? He sent everybody else away, but He says, can we go out a little deeper? Will you let God go deeper into your life than just a service? Just a Wednesday or a Sunday morning. Can He have you forever? Can He have you when you're not here? Can He have you when nobody else is seeing you? He said, let's just back up a little bit. Can you see Him? I don't know how you see the Bible, but I see it this way. I see Peter in full row. He's rowing back. And I know what he's thinking. I'm a man. He's sitting there thinking, my nets are clean. My boat's clean. We're done. That's a powerful word. You, golly bum you. He don't even know this is God. He don't even know God's entered the boat yet. If this gets, listen, don't let this get old. He's rolling backwards and he's thinking, my goodness, what an inconvenience this guy is in my life. I heard His word. It's powerful. What does He want from me? Have you ever done that? Have you ever came to church? Have you ever read your Bible? And you know it's a powerful word, but you're always asking God, what do you want? He gets out a little bit deeper and he turns to Peter and he says, cast your net on the right side. First time you hear anything out of His mouth. Not in His mind, in His mouth. You can say a lot in your mind. I hate to tell you this, God can hear your thoughts. I can't, but God can. I should say that again. The preacher can't. Thank God. But God can. Amen? We'd be in trouble if our thoughts would go up on the projector sometimes, wouldn't it? God, we've been fishing all night. Donnie, you know what I think He was saying? I know everything there is to know about fishing, God. I know everything about my life. I do. I know everything about this. And I don't know what you're trying to do. You're acting like you know me better than I know me, and I know you don't. God, I think you're trying to meddle around. You're trying to act like you know me when I do know me. And listen, I don't know you very well, but I do know me. I've lived inside this thing for 47 years. I know me. Amen? You better know yourself, right? But all of a sudden, He's telling Peter something, and Peter's saying, this is not right. Lord, we have toiled all night. But I'm glad He said the next part. But at your word. Charlie, nobody else is listening. Watch this. Can you see like I see it? Can you see the net going in the water? The clean net. Donnie, you see it? The clean one. I don't like cleaning stuff up after I make a mess. I don't. Don't ask me. I don't. Stop smiling. But man, could you imagine if you spent hours cleaning it? Bart, could you imagine? Watch every rung. That one was real clean. That one was super clean. Man, that was the cleanest I'd ever got that net. We didn't catch anything last night. And man, I had got all the sea stuff out of it. Man, I'd got it. Man, we was ready to go to bed. We were ready to go eat. We were ready to go get some breakfast. Oh, my goodness. And here it is. It's going to go all the way to the bottom. He don't know anything. These kind of fish that we fish for don't come up in the daylight. If they came up, the predators would get them. He don't even know what he's doing. But at His word, God knows you better than you know you. He knows what's better for you than you know what's for you. And he will say stuff to you and try to get you to do stuff for him that will complete you and his mission. I'll say it real slow again. It will complete you and his mission. It ain't always about you. God's working on so many levels. He's working on his plan. He's working on the enemy. He's working on saving people that you don't even know about saving. And guess what? In the midst of that, he's trying to work on you too. Sometimes we're sitting around, God, don't you know what you're doing to me? Yep, I saved you, and I'm going to get you to the other side. I'm going to bring you from this life to the next life. And in the meanwhile, I'm going to fulfill every promise I've ever made. Goes to the net. Go ahead and pull it up, if you would. It's full. Completely full. Completely full. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men. I'll supply every need that your family will have while I'm gone. This hall right here will be one of the biggest halls that's ever been taking place, not for your sake, but for your mama and daddy's sake. When we walk away, they're going to know that you walked away with God. Because I caught a haul in the middle of the day when you shouldn't have done it, when you were through, when you were out with strength, when everything was finished and done, when you gave up. Some of y'all need to hear this kind of stuff. When you give up, God gets started. When you give up, God gets started. I'll never find the right person. Yeah, you will. God ain't. Just when you give up the search, God will send them. Amen? I'll never find the right job. Yes, you will. And if God wants you in it, guess what? The applications you forgot about putting in, the resume you forgot about sending, forget that. Let me tell you this. God will send a word about you before you ever even knew the job existed. And you say, how do you know? It's happened to me about four times now. Amen? Happened about four times. Wasn't looking for a job, wasn't looking for ministry, wasn't looking for it. And guess what? I had one job in ministry. We were on it for about a year, and all of a sudden they come to us and say, oh yeah, by the way, you don't have any application or resume or anything filled out on file. Would you please do that? I said, man, we've been here for a while. Do you think we need to start filling out paperwork? Amen? It's amazing, ain't it? Some of y'all are wondering, see David, King David, so, well, he got anointed to be the king, but his first trip up to the kingdom was to play the harp. You know how he got up there? A man said, David, he's got a son. David's father, Jesse's got a son who can play the harp. And he's a beautiful man. He's a man of valor, and he's an awesome warrior, and he can sing, and he's blessed. And you know what? The man had never met him. David never had been to war before. Amen? But if you'll get busy serving God, God will get busy sending you to the places that you need to go. I love that story. I love how he pulls them out of there. And in Luke chapter 5 as well, you know what happens? Right after that, after he calls them, listen, have you ever felt like God's got you like one day to the next, you don't know what's going to happen or things are getting crazy one day from the next? Well, welcome to the apostleship and discipleship of Jesus Christ. Could you imagine what it was like for Peter, James, and John? He called them disciples, and every day was something new. The next day, they ran into a man who had leprosy. He come running out at them. Imagine that. Somebody was covered with leprosy, come running at them. I get it. Peter, James, and John like, it was better to be a fisherman. Amen? We've got the sickest of sick people running right at us. But when you got Jesus, it's okay. They ran up to him, and only he was covered on the outside with a problem, and he was very vocal. Because I'm a leper, and God, I want you to heal me, and if it's your will, you can heal me. And Jesus said, yeah, I can. And you know what he did? He healed him. He said, go show yourself to the priest. And he ran. He had an outside problem. Kimberly, he had an outside problem, and it was very vocal. And God healed it. You know, there's a lot of people in this world got some outside problems, and God can heal them. Very vocal. I'm a drug addict. I'm a drunk. I'm a liar. Something about pornography. You know, any of the above. Amen. Any of those ones that are outward sins that everybody can see. Amen. You know, there's sins that you can see and they're clear, right? You caught stealing, lying, whatever the case may be. Right there on Front Street, it's easy. Well, if you come to Jesus and you ask him to forgive you of that and heal you of that, he will. And it's vocal, man. It's him running down. I picture the man running down to the temple. Kind of weird when you've met God and then you got to go to the house of God. Right? That's another message. But he meets God and God heals him, but then he wants him to go show himself to the priest. Right? But I love what Jesus said, and a lot of times he would say, don't tell everybody. Could you imagine if you had leprosy and didn't have it no more? Could you imagine if you were blind and you couldn't see no more, or you could see? Could you imagine if you were deaf and you could hear? Could you imagine? Have you ever watched those videos of somebody who's colorblind, put on those colorblind glasses, and it lets them see in color? If you ain't never heard it, if you haven't seen it, look it up sometime. That's one of the most amazing things in the world. It's like they put them on, and you think, and it's, I'm talking about young people, teenagers, boys 10, 12, 15 years old, and even adults, they'll put them on, and you'll watch them. They'll put them on, and they'll almost take them off again. And they can never, ever change their expression, ever. It's always instant emotion. It's already just weeping and crying. It's already, oh my God, I didn't think that blue was that blue. I didn't think purple was that purple. I didn't think green was that green. Oh, ain't it amazing how used to things we get? Somebody else sees it for the very first time. And I like when they do the cochlear implants. I don't know if you know anything about that, but they can put these implants in and a deaf person can hear. And I watch the older ones do it. But my favorite one is, not the older ladies, and that's cool. We need to watch that too. But it's the baby. The baby who can't speak. It's laying there and it's, you know, doing its thing, and it's, you know, and all of a sudden its mother for the first time says, I love you. And all of a sudden the baby's eyes come open and all of a sudden it looks and it starts crying, but it's happy. You know what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. God, if he ever touched you, that's kind of where I'm gonna be real raw with you right here. I'm just be real honest. I don't care about where we are in line of this service or whatnot. But I kind of figured, I thought at the end of this, I thought when the church would come back, I thought we'd come back a little bit more excited than we have. I'm serious. It's kind of, that's one thing that's kind of eroded under me a little bit since we've done this. I thought, man, if the saints ever come back to the house of God, they're gonna be thankful. It's going to be like somebody put the sight back on or the ears back on. I thought, man, when we come in, you're going to have some people who are just going to sit there in their seats and just weep before God because they were taken away from them. But I'm worried that we don't remember anymore how good we had it. I said, what if somebody was blind and now they see? I was blind and I see. I said, what if somebody was deaf and they couldn't hear and they could hear it? I was. What if they were lame and now they could walk? I was lame. I had no spiritual legs about me. I was all those. And somewhere along the way, we've become so complacent about it. I've been walking for a long time now. I've been hearing for a long time now. I've been seeing for a long time now. You know what? I'm used to it. But I wish sometimes that I could remember where God found me and worship from there. Amen? Worship from there. And the next part of this message that probably wasn't supposed to be the message was, there was a man who was paralyzed. Amen? And four of his friends got together. Four of them. Y'all have heard me preach this before. Four of his friends got together. Four people that loved him more than they loved themselves. Got together. And said, we're going to take a paralyzed man to Jesus. You know what happens when you pick up a paralyzed man? You got your hands on a mess. A man who can't feed himself. I can't clean himself, can't move, can't talk, can't do anything for himself. And you've decided to pick up all four corners. They picked up all four corners. Could you imagine? I believe we've done this in the church before. I believe we've picked up people. I believe we picked up people that were really hurting, paralyzed, and need Jesus, and we are on our way, but it got inconvenient somewhere in the middle, and somebody said, you know what? I'm tired of carrying somebody who's dead weight. I'm tired of carrying somebody who won't do what they're a mess, they're hard to deal with, and I'll just let my corner down. What's wrong with letting the corner of the bed down of a man who's paralyzed? Somewhere between where he was and Jesus.
Have we done that before? Have you ever been that way before? People started out with you good, but they didn't finish well. I want to be a church that finishes well. I want to get people all the way to Jesus. I don't want to just start something. I want to finish something. Could you imagine if they laid him down somewhere between his house where at least he knew where everything was? At least he knew he was comfortable. But somewhere along the way, they let him down and just say, sorry, we can't go any further with you. You were a bigger mess than we thought you were. You were heavier than we thought you were going to be. And we got tired. Be honest, we just got inconvenienced with you. You'll just have to stay right here. Is he in worse shape or better shape than he was? I think he's in worse shape. Because you know what? They left him somewhere between home and eternity. I hope we don't leave too many people between home and eternity. Some of y'all are sitting here right now going, what are you talking about, brother? God has given you the opportunity to minister into people's lives every day of your life. In work, in school, friendships, relationships. You know what we do? We start out strong. God, if you'll give me somebody, I will be a spiritual warrior for you. God, if you'll let me have this, I'll use it for your honor and your glory. Yeah, but about halfway through, we let a lot of people down. We drop our corner. Because you know what? Standing up for Christ here will get us in trouble. But what we do is we drop a lot of people. And if you're not careful, if you drop them the wrong way, Donnie, I'm preaching now. If you drop them the right way, you'll hurt them. They're already paralyzed, but now they got a head wound or a heart wound. And the last thing they're going to trust anymore now is, one, they were paralyzed. They did have some friends, but now guess who they're going to blame when you've let them down? I'm never going to trust anybody that says they're from Jesus again. People, house of God. Let me tell you this. If you're going to pick it up, take them all the way there. If you're going to pick them up, take them all the way to Jesus. If you're going to pick them up, show some consistency. Walking with Jesus takes a straight line. Amen? It takes a stronghold. Consistency. It takes you saying, you know what? When you wake up in the morning, I'm going to be here. When 5 years from now, you say this all the time. You know what? I plan on being the Flat Tops pastor for as long as God wants me to be. But if one day I'm not here, I'm going to be in two other places. I'm going to be somewhere else preaching the gospel, or I'm going to be in glory. That's my plan. That's always been my plan. I want to be in two places, serving God wherever He wants me to serve in His capacity or in heaven. That's what our plan is. That's where your consistency is. People should be able to look into your life and say, I don't know why I'm seeing it this way right now, but I see a little paralyzed man going like this, just looking up every once in a while. Are you still there? Are you still got a corner? You still got a hold on my bed? Look down at his feet. Y'all still, I wonder how many times, he's paralyzed. I wonder how many times he said, thank y'all. I know I'm a mess. I know I'm hard to deal with. I don't even know why y'all picked me up and took me. I'm more trouble. Have you ever had somebody in your life that's more trouble than you bargained for? You had to carry them further than you thought you was going to have to carry them. Give more than you thought you was going to have to give. Thank y'all for it. But could you imagine when you got to the door? I got to the door and knocked on it. And so people opened the door. I love this. Sounds like church to me in modern church. They opened the door. What are you guys doing here? We got a friend of ours. He's paralyzed. And we've walked. I could see the sweat. I bet they looked rough. James, I bet they looked rough. When you work before you come to church, sometimes you look rough. Right? You can't always get it together. I can't. He walks right through the door. We got a friend right here, but they're like, go in the world. What are y'all doing here? Jesus is in meeting. It's already began. Everybody's in their seats. We're all comfortable. Yeah, but we got one out here who's really hurt. He's really needing Jesus. And we took all of our time and energy to get him here. And we want him to get in there. We're full. Can anybody not come out and give us a seat? You know what the church should have done? They should have bailed out. Everybody should have bailed out and helped him carry him in. But I can see it. I can see it like it was today. I can see them just shutting the door. God, and they probably said something like this, Charlie, God bless you.
Maybe he'll be back this way next week. You can bring him on by. Get here early where you can get a good seat. So-and-so donated this one. I'm sitting in. Sorry. I wonder as they were sitting down. God, I can't believe it. Did you smell them guys? Did you see who they was going to try to bring in here? I mean, could you imagine? I know what they want. I know what they wanted. They wanted us to bring that guy in here and become some kind of help to him. He's paralyzed. There ain't no need. There ain't nothing we can do for that guy. He would probably cost us everything. I wonder what they even brought him here for. Just a few minutes later, the tiles in the ceiling are being pried apart. What are they doing? I know that got their attention because I know how people are about their church. They're tearing our church apart. Yeah, God will tear your church apart if you won't do His will. He'll tear you down if you won't build up the kingdom with it. He'll pull it apart. Everything you put into it, He'll take it apart. Systematically. He'll send it out in the street. Can you see them? One tile at a time. And every tile they pulled apart, they could see Jesus a little bit more clear. And I see as clear as day. Jesus' focus changes from a room full of people who wouldn't open the door for them to the person that needed them the most. Listen, I often think, what would it take for having a great move of God? What would it take for a revival to really happen in our country? What would it take for the whole world to change? I believe it would take the believers to turn back to God with all their heart, mind, and soul and seek God and ask Him to forgive them of their sins and their apathy. And their apathy. The church's apathy. Where we stop caring about the destitution and the lostness of our world. When we were more concerned about how we were going to get to church and what we were going to do here and what was ours instead of coming in here. Because I'll guarantee you, if this world ever hears about a church who's on their face before God because their sin has reached heaven, guess what? I believe sinners would come in here and go, I want to be a part of that. Because too many times unbelievers come in here and they look at us and we hold ourselves so strong and so steady. They look at us and they go, well, there ain't nothing wrong with them. I can't relate. I don't see anything going on with their lives. They must got it all figured out. Yet they are wrong because guess what? We pile all of our stuff on the inside of our hearts and minds and carry it around and we never let God have His way with us because if He did, we'd be a mess. And people would see it. And they'd talk about us. Did you see him on that altar? He was a mess. Did you see her on that altar? She was a mess. It was like her whole world was messed up. And that's the second week in a row that they were up on the altar just weeping before God. What's wrong with them? Nothing. Nothing's wrong with me. I'm getting it worked out with God. Installments. Every time we get something fixed, I come back in and he finds the other thing and we get that figured out and I walk out of here better than I came in. What's wrong with me is there's nothing wrong with me. Me and God are fixing it. The structure's good. I'm saved. I got the cornerstone. He's just working on the foundation. They lowered him down into the room. Y'all know this part of the story. And he looks at him and he says, oh, son, thy sins be forgiven. I think I thought about the four up on the top, and I bet they were saying, hey, Jesus, we didn't bring him to get him saved. We brought him to get him healed. Donnie, we don't want to carry him home. Amen? But Jesus said he's got a bigger problem. He's got a sin condition, and I got to get that fixed. See, the first guy was a leper. He had an outside problem. Some of y'all got outside problems or had them before you got saved. Maybe still got a few hanging around. Amen. They're easy. You can tell everybody. Everybody can probably tell you what they are. But God can fix inside problems too. Amen. Inside. Unvocal inside problems. The good thing about God is He don't have to have you tell everybody and nobody has to know. See, you can look good on the outside, cool as a cucumber, but struggle behind closed doors, struggle at home, struggle with anxiety, fear, depression. Heartache. Amen. You can have things in your past that hurt you so bad and you can't tell nobody about them. But guess what? God can fix those things. Amen.
But see, on everybody else on that side, oh, they're fine. They're perfect. They look good. Man, look at them. You know what? God says, uh-uh. He said he forgave him his biggest problem first, that inside problem, that inside hurt. Amen? The inside hurt. Leprosy was the outside hurt. That's the person, you know, they get up and testify. I used to be a drunk. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to be a meth. I used to be a prostitute. Man, God took care of me. Praise God. And everybody's like, yeah, God's awesome, God. But God, hey, God took away my anxiety. God's working on my fear. God took away from when I was a kid. I got hurt real bad. And God's taking that away. I got hurt one time in a relationship. God, never mind. Yeah. Hard to be real in church, ain't it? Everything ain't perfect. Everything ain't worked out. God can work on the inside just as much as on the outside. The only problem is you got to get in front of him. Amen? You got to get in front of him with it. I love what Jesus does. Jesus looks up around the room. You know what I thought? James is kind of crazy about this. He looks around the room and he realized, you know what? It's a packed house, but everybody in here ain't for me. Goodness gracious. God's cool, ain't he? You would think, man, you know, we wring our hands. I don't think so-and-so likes us. I don't think so-and-so wants us to do this. I don't think so-and-so. Praise God. God's sitting there going, I know I can hear their heart. That person right there is wondering who can forgive sin. Only God can. And he's reasoning in his heart who I am. And all of a sudden he goes, you know what? I'm really not worried about everybody else. My plan will get worked out no matter what happens. You know, Judas walked around with Jesus for three and a half years of his ministry, and it never hindered his ministry. Sometimes we want, man, I think the devil might be up here at church. Yeah, the devil comes to church here a lot. But praise God, he ain't going to hinder the ministry. Amen. Worst thing you can do to me, Bart, I'm being honest with you. Worst thing you can do to me in a fight, spiritual or physical, is let me know we're there in the fight. I told somebody this earlier in the beginning. Listen, you can hit me. You can hit me in the nose. You can hit me. Hey, praise God. And let me know I'm in a fight. That's the worst thing you can do. Hey, now I'm in a fight. I didn't even know we had a fight going on. But I've been hit. Now we're fighting. Great. Amen. Praise God. It's all right. Have anybody in here feel like you're looking through tears? I feel like the devil's reared back and hit America right in the face. We only got two options. Donnie, what are two options when you've been smacked in the face? Fight back or run. That's the only things you got. You either going to get whooped some more, or you're going to run from the whooping, or you're going to do some whooping. Oh, goodness. And some of y'all are sitting there going, no, we're going to go to war. No, we're going to go to spiritual warfare. We're going to go to praying. We're going to go to reading. We're going to go to preaching. We're going to go to singing. We're going to go to worship. We're going to go into the world and present the gospel. And praise God, what was a war will turn into a victory. But you just got to realize then you're in a fight and stop sitting there going, man, why'd you hit me for? It doesn't matter after you've been hit. Why you've been hit? You've been hit. Jesus sitting there with a bunch of people reasoning who he is. He goes, because you're reasoning in your heart. Amen? Because you're reasoning in your heart that it's impossible for me to forgive his sins, I'll do the lesser thing. Take up your bed and walk. Can y'all see him? I preach this so many times, it ain't even funny, but I think it's amazing. I just see him. All of a sudden, the man's not been to one day of rehab. Nope. Not one exercise. Try to walk after about 6 months of not walking. This man hadn't walked his whole life. You got to learn how to walk again if you've been hurt for any period of time. If you get a surgery tomorrow, they'll have to teach you to walk after the surgery. Here he'll get up and walk. His brain shot a signal down. I don't mean to be all scientific, because I'm not. But there had to be a signal. There had to be a signal that went from his brain to his legs that said, get up. And his legs had to shoot a brain signal back. And this all takes place in microseconds that said, okay. And he gets up in perfect balance. Now listen, y'all ain't hearing what I'm saying. A man who couldn't walk prior to this had to be carried everywhere, got up, stood up, bent down, and picked up the thing that was carrying him. He was stronger than he should have ever been. I've never preached it like this, Charlie.
He was stronger than he could. Listen what I'm saying. I guarantee you his friends starting out that day had minimal thought of how this was going to go. Charlie, I'll bet that I know God can, but we'll be happy with a six-month plan, a five-year plan to get him back on the road. Amen? I guarantee you they did not think that that man would be carrying that bed out of that sanctuary. Can I ask you a question? What do you think the mood was of the people who were watching the door when he walked by them with a bed? Huh? Evening to you. God bless you. Think about it. Hear what I'm saying? The people who said, no, we ain't got no room for you in here. I bet they were thinking, man, I wish we'd let him in. We could have been a part of it. But instead, now we just feel bad because we weren't a part of it. I wonder if they sit there and watched him go down the street, walking down the street holding his bed. Everybody going, hey, where'd you get that bed? You know it's a Sabbath. You're not supposed to be carrying that. Yeah, but the one who created the Sabbath told me to carry it. And it's funny that you asked me about me carrying my bed, because this bed right here used to carry me for years and years and years. It carried me. But just a few minutes ago, I run into a man named Jesus, and he told me that all my sins are forgiven, so I'm righteous before God. That's another thing. But praise God, I'm walking and I'm carrying my bed. I guarantee if you got a problem, you can go up there. It don't matter if it's an inside problem or an outside problem. God can touch you and heal you and make you whole. All you got to do is get up there to him. He's up there in that little church building or that little house. The roof's tore off of it. The roof's tore off that little house up there. They wouldn't let us in the front door. And I got four radical friends who busted up the roof and put me in front of Jesus. He said, where are your friends at? I don't know. Since I got my new legs, praise God, I just kind of left them in the dirt. Amen? Ain't that amazing? Guys, I didn't come here to preach this morning, but that's what we did. It was Luke chapter 5. You can go back and find out where I was right or wrong or up or down. Do you got an inside problem that God needs to touch? Do you got an outside problem that God needs to touch? And can we pray about our church that we don't be a church that's more comfortable in here, that we don't let the people from out there come get what they need to get from in here? Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to preach and serve here this morning. I pray that we meet a need. Lord, we love you and we trust you. God, help us. Help us if our inside hurts and our outside hurts. Let us turn our misery and our pain, our scaredness, our anxiety, our fear, our dread, our insecurities, our weaknesses, our failures, our successes. Let them turn to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Scott, if you'll come give us some.